Good morning. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Today's sermon text is taken from 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 8. And it says, Hilkiah said to the high priest, said to Shaphera the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. We're going to focus on finding the book. We'll be focusing on reading the book. And most importantly, following the book. The backstory of finding the book. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king of Judah. Josiah reigned 31 years. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all his ways as Father David. King Josiah, in the 18th year of reign, sent Shaphera the scribe to the house of the Lord, Solomon's temple. 94 years have passed since then. A few kings have come and gone. Damage was done to the temple, the house of the Lord. Repairs were made to the house of the Lord. Hilkiah the high priest found the book of the law in the house of the Lord, and things were going to change from that point on after finding the book. Could you imagine not finding your Bible in your house? I would be horrified. Where's my Bible? God's word is going to cut to the heart. Finding God's word, the book of the law, gave directions to the Israelites. The law was a shadow of better things to come. The law was a picture of Christ. Shaphan read the book of the law before King Josiah. King Josiah tore his clothes, and I often wondered why people tore their clothes. Would you tear your clothes today? But why they did that, because it was a sign of mourning in grief and keen sorrow. The wrath of the Lord was aroused against us, the Israelites, specifically the southern tribes. The northern tribes are already in captivity. Because of our fathers have not obeyed the word of the book. They were doing their own thing. Prayer was sought and prayer was answered. The power of prayer, repentance after finding the book. Now they knew, they found it, they read it, and now they're going to do something about it. And now they're like, oh, we better repent. And repenting is just turning from your ways and to the Lord's. The psalmist has something to say about this. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. And we must, as believers in his word, have that in our hearts. Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I had spoken against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and curse. And you tore your clothes and wept before me, and I also heard you say, surely, therefore I will gather you to your father, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. That's assurance from God that he's going to have peace in his days. Your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place. And if you read your Bible, you know that they're in a lot of trouble. They're in a lot of trouble for not listening. Parents' sins were visited on the on the children, God's wrath at that point was stopped temporarily because of the power of prayer. And I asked, do you pray? Do you come before the Lord with a humble heart, with a contrite heart? Action in God's word, faith. The book of the law was found, read, and followed. King Josiah restored true worship. I got roughly 622 BC when true worship was restored. It could be plus or minus a couple. Then the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commandments and his testimony and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that was written in the book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant. They were not only hearers of God's word, but they were also, more importantly, doers of his word. May we follow their example, and may we take a stand for his book, for his word, as Christians. If we profess to be Christians, may we take a bold stand. Living for the Lord, living out his word daily, striving for holiness and for perfection. We can strive. True worship, walking with God. The temple was cleansed. Removal of false items in temple. Awakened, reformed, put away false idols, and served the one true God with a pure heart, pleasing him. God knows the intent of the heart. If you come to him, he will by no means cast you away if you have the right heart. Now before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might according to all the law of Moses. Nor after him did any arise like him. And we're speaking of human kings here. There wasn't many good kings between the north and the south. The south, the northern kings, there was not one good. And in the southern kings, there was, I think, five or six. And there was 18 or 19 kings. So that's not good. And now we're going to fast forward 626 years later. We just went into the time warp like the Jetsons. The king of the Jews has come. 626 years later, from that point of the end of Josiah, which was prophesied many times in the Old Testament by the prophets of old. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verse 11, the wise men. We're talking about the wise men. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, which is kingly, frankincense, which is equated with priestly, and myrrh, which is equated with burial. And Jesus came to his own in the flesh. God came in the flesh. His mission, Jesus Christ's mission, was to die for the sins of the world. He was obedient to the will of the Father without question. And we can strive for that too, being obedient children. Everything changes in a person's life when you acknowledge you're a sinner in need of a Savior, repenting of sin and walking with the Lord, not the world. Accepting and acknowledging repenting would probably be the best decision of your life in trusting Jesus Christ. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Does your heart recognize the heart of true worship is Jesus Christ? The Bible, Old Testament and New, is all about Jesus. I can remember somebody saying, Jesus is in every page of the Bible. And I'm like, how is that possible? But as you read the Bible, you will see, you go to a good Bible-believing church, you go to a good Bible study, you put forth the effort. If you want to make good muffins, you follow the directions, and you know at the end you'll have good muffins. And if you don't, you won't have good muffins. May we find, read, and follow his book, the Holy Bible. His word will set you free. Do you have true worship? The one to be worshiped is Jesus Christ. This whole book is all about Jesus Christ. I often say I wouldn't personally do it, but if you cut up the Bible and you put it back together as a puzzle, it would look like Jesus. Jesus' own words, and this comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 46 and 47. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writing, how will you believe my words? And Jesus came to not only live and die and pay our sin debt in full at the cross on Calvary. And he says this in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Moses was the lawgiver, and Christ Jesus is the life giver. God came in the flesh. It's clear cut in scriptures. He was born of a virgin. They were looking for a sign. God gave signs. And Jesus walked in his ministry telling people, I'm the sign. And, you know, they're looking for other stuff. He's telling them, I'm the sign. Jesus was the sign. Jesus came in the flesh to save that which was lost, Israel. For the Jews first and the Gentiles. God the Father made a way of salvation through belief in his Son. Because we believe, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit to guide us, teach us in all truth. We are so blessed to have his written word as our guide. Everything he wants us to know is in his written word. We have life, we have peace, we have salvation through his word, if we believe in faith. To know the God of the Bible, whether it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, it's all in the book. It's all in his word, and we have to follow his word as obedient children. You have to put in the effort. Instead of watching a crazy TV show, jump in his word. It takes effort. Jesus' own words, the Gospel of John chapter 4, verse 24, says this, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And if you're not, now is the time. And may we say like the psalmist, but as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy, in fear of you, and I will worship towards your holy temple. May we worship the Lord daily in reverent fear, that's holy fear, for what we have received, his mercy and grace, and not what we deserve. Therefore, since we receive the kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptable with reverent and godly fear. This is in the form of a question. What is God's will for you? And I put this for me, but I'll put that out. What is God's will for you? Don't Google it because you'll get crazy answers. God's will for his children is to do the will, to do God's will and serve him alone. Wholeheartedly sought through prayer, meditation, his written word. The good news for the believer in Christ Jesus, the Bible, strengthens our faith, gives us direction, gives us comfort, gives us hope, and it gives us eternal life for those who believe in Jesus Christ and what he has done. His Bible tells his children exactly what is expected of his children and the consequences for those who reject him. For those who believe in the Son have everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So, as blood-bought believers, it's our job to go and tell people the truth, no matter how comfortable it might make you feel, but we're to go. And the simple, the best answer that I've ever heard when somebody asks somebody, they say, because I believe in faith. I take his word as truth. That right there, God must have been going, good job. That's a good answer. We're to have humbleness. We're to have humility, which Jesus embodied. We can't even fathom and come close to that, but we're to strive in Jesus' footsteps of them qualities. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, who dwells on high and holy place, with him who has a contrite and humble spirit to revive the heart of a contrite one. His word, followed wholly by the seeker, can find strength. He can be our strength. He can be our rock. He can be our fortress. And the only one that is our Savior, Jesus Christ. May we walk humbly as Christians. May your heart be revived and renewed through his word, taking the garbage out of your head, putting new stuff, putting his word in. Having fellowship, either you're in fellowship or you're out of fellowship. Only you can answer that. For the believer, we want to be in true fellowship with God Almighty, in true worship. In believers, we're to be separate from the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Either you believe that or you don't. You cannot serve two masters. It's either one or the other. Whom do you serve? For the believer in faith, there are clear directions to follow to be separate. Having our thoughts on Christ Jesus always, in his word, going to church, listening to Christ-filled music, praying, meditating, things that are pleasing to him. Not hanging around with the everybody knows what if you're a blood-bought believer, you know the difference between good and evil according to the scripture. And we can remember that we have been bought at a price. His blood paid for our sin debt in full. And may we not grieve the Spirit the day that we were sealed. And may we put our belief and faith into action. That's like sitting on a pedal bike and leaving the kickstand down. You're not going to go anywhere. We know the way. How do we know the way? And Jesus tells us, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Everything we need to know is in the Bible. Do we follow it? That's the question. If you have not made peace with Christ Jesus today, I pray you do today. And may, for a blood-bought believer, may you live out true worship. And to all, may you find, read, and follow his written word, having a personal relationship and true worship with the one to be worshiped is Jesus Christ. Amen. And now we're going to go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We just thank you for letting us come into your house. We thank you for letting your word go out with power and might. May the people in the hearing just find, read, and follow your written word, Lord. Not adding or subtracting, but following it to the letter, Lord, being obedient children. We just thank you for everything that you have done, everything that you're doing, and everything that you are going to do in our lives. And may we always have true worship. And may our thoughts be clean, like the temple was cleansed. May we just walk worthy. When we stumble, we have taken our eyes and our focus off of you, Lord. And then we're grieving the Spirit, and then we have to come to a repentant heart, and you will forgive, Lord. We have a God of many chances. We just thank you that we can come out here and hear your word, and may we live it out, pleasing you. And all of these things I pray in Jesus' precious name, amen. Now we're going to have an interlude. We're going to do sign of the peace, and then Pastor will come back and do the communion.